Good morning, brothers and sisters, and dear young people. We do it is indeed a pleasure to be here with you this morning. Alan and I bring to you the love and the fraternal greetings of the Whangarei Ecclesia to the Bok Ecclesia. Not often do we say, well, you say that regularly up there. Good to come down here and say the Whangarei Ecclesia. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? These words of the Negro spiritual vividly describe the love of God in giving and the love of Christ in yielding his life for us. And we can picture the scene, brothers and sisters, and young people. Yes, young people, sure. As this song was sung in a hall in southern parts of America. After a hard day or hard week as slaves in the cotton fields, the Negroes would come together, young and old, to sing this type of song. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? They would sing this type of song with feeling and power. It was this type of song that strengthened young Negro children to grow up into adults, to suffer also at the hands of cruel overlords. In 1 John 4 verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. The source and fountain of all love is God, and all who love are his children, begotten of his Father." The implication is that those who refrain from showing love do not really know the Father. For a true knowledge of God has its outworking in a loving life and in faithful acts of service. 1 John 4 verse 9, it says, "In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." We will be reading these words in 1 John 9 days' time. Israel, in their Egyptian enslavement, cried in anguish unto the Lord, their God. His ready response to them, urgent prayer, was a response of love. Come to Exodus chapter 3. Verses 7 and 8. "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Israel in their Egyptian enslavement cry in anguish unto the Lord their God. His ready response to their urgent prayer was a response of love. As we have read, persecution and bondage brought Israel in humility and sincerity to their God. They diligently sought the Lord, and God, unfailing love, embraced them in their hour of extreme need. The Lord said unto that he had seen the affliction, verse 7, and have heard their cry, verse 7, by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, verse 7. The unbounding love of God and his personal concern for his children is a theme repeatedly demonstrated throughout Scripture. Love is an active attribute. It is ever seeking to fulfill itself, ever working in the lives of those who allow it to work. God's love for Israel found expression in his acts of miraculous deliverance. He saved them and set their feet on the pathway to the promised land. The love of our Lord Jesus Christ was a perfect reflection of his Father's love. There are enemies in many forms. There is the evil heart of unbelief, which insists upon seeing before believing. This is a great enemy from without. Faith, it is impossible to please God without faith. There is the enemy of ignorance. There is also the love of this present world, which is natural to us all. The love of praise of men, the love of money, position, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All these and many more enemies have to be destroyed, and the battle is painfully distressing. And the victory is not easily won. It is easy to see the wisdom of Paul's exhortation to put on the armour of righteousness. A good deal is implied in these words. Stand therefore, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So coming back to those words of that Negro spiritual which we started with, were you there when they pierced him in the side? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? The Negro spiritual must have had a tremendous effect on those young people present. So also does similar songs help young Christadelphian Sunday school students. I would like to read to you one of these songs which we sometimes sing in our meeting. I cannot see it, so I will read it to you. We love the wonderful stories the Holy Scriptures tell of prophets true, heroes brave, who served God's kingdom well. How Joseph, sold by his brothers to be a helpless slave, became a prince in Egypt's land, and all the wrong forgave. How Moses led his people to Canaan's promised land, and God the Lord protected still by his almighty hand. How David, once a shepherd, became proud Israel's king, and with his harp and eventide, glad psalms did sweetly sing. But best of all the stories that tells of Jesus' love, who lived and died for sinful men and rose to heaven above. The hymn speaks about Joseph, who was sold by his brothers to be a slave, became a prince in Egypt, and all the wrong forgave. The hymn spoke about Moses, who led the people from Egypt to the promised land, and God protected them all the way. The hymn spoke about David, who became a great king in Israel. The hymn spoke about Jesus' love to live and die for sinful men and rose to heaven above. And as we begin again to read the books of Job, we are again to puzzle over its meaning. One lesson, however, is clear. Job is a great example of patience. The patience of Job, everyone knows that phrase. And the Apostle James used this phrase in his letter, which we are to read.